from KQED.
The biggest fast food joint in the world, McDonald's, began in a scrappy working-class town east of L.A. But it's businessman Ray Kroc who turned it into a billion-dollar global enterprise, and it's Kroc's third wife, Joan, who donated much of the Kroc fortune after his death. It's a story that KCRW reporter Lisa Napoli tells in the book Ray and Joan, the man who made the McDonald's fortune and the woman who gave it all away. She told our John Sepulvedo the couple actually had a 12-year-long affair before finally wedding in 1969.
Back then, that was so unthinkable, and that's what made writing this book so difficult, because it was a fact, it was true, but people were reluctant to talk about it. People of a certain age, from a certain generation, when things were more genteel and you didn't talk about people's marriages and sex lives and affairs. Plus, of course, there's the McDonald's thing. A lot of people are afraid about speaking out and saying bad things about McDonald's. But all, in all that time, while that was going on, both Ray and Joan's first husband were becoming very wealthy. Of course, Ray became far more wealthy because he held the majority stock of McDonald's. And when that went public in 1965, he all of a sudden went from somebody scrapping together to make it happen, like startup businessmen often are, to being fantastically wealthy.
So here we have this really kind of stingy, you would say frugal businessman who drives a really hard bargain. A lot of backstory on how he acquired the first McDonald's that was based in San Bernardino County. But he did a lot for Southern California. You know, he bought the Padres. He established San Diego as you know, the second fast food capital of the world. Jack in the Box was headquartered there. Tell us a little bit about Ray Kroc's influence on California.
Sure. Yeah, and it's extraordinary given that Ray was from Chicago, Oak Park, and Joan was from the Midwest too. But later in their lives, they moved in 1976 to San Diego, as you mentioned, because he bought the Padres on a whim, saved the Padres from moving out of the state, which made him an instant hero because they were literally packed up and ready to go. There were new uniforms being designed for Washington, where they were going, Washington, D.C. And then Joan, when he and Joan moved to California, they each got rooted in the community in a really important way, differently for each of them. She started this alcoholism education program and then became, you know, a famous philanthropist after Ray passed away. And he just was indelibly entwined with California from even before he set foot here as a resident in the state, having purchased a beautiful, sprawling ranch up in the Central Coast. Before the Central Coast was wine country, it was cattle country. And he'd, after he'd become rich in 1965, bought a parcel of land there and developed an extraordinary lodge, which was the foundation headquarters of the very first Kroc Foundation, and also a place where McDonald's research was conducted.
So on one hand, we got Ray Kroc, who made the money, and he's kind of, again, famously frugal. And then you have Joan Kroc, who, as you note in your title, gave most of the money, if not all of it, away.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful story because he was a Nixon-supporting conservative, socially conservative, and she was what he called a patsy. And if he'd lived to see what she'd done with her money and how she doled it out to people, simply in response to news stories that she saw, or women she met a woman on a plane who wanted to start the first freestanding hospice in San Diego, so Joan underwrote it. So she just very famously responded to things in viscerally that would have probably made Ray recoil.
What would California look like if this very complicated love between Ray and Joan Kroc did not exist? How would the state be different?
San Diego certainly would be radically different. The Padres probably wouldn't be there. Opera, hospice, all these other entities, homeless shelters that won world-class awards. Oh, and of course, I'm forgetting, silly for me, she funded KPBS, too, as well as NPR. So there were so many entities that wouldn't have had have an imprint. She could have left a bigger imprint had she left a foundation that doled out money and amassed income over the years, but she didn't. She just chose to give it all away. And the way she gave it away was very generous to California. So I think California would look very different if they hadn't moved here.
Lisa Napoli, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.